लिंगम च
तपसा अभिस्तम
भस्मा दंडा जता अजिनम अंगेना संध्याभ्रा चंद्रलेखाम सॉरी बिफोर दैट इट वाज रुचा चंद्रलेखाम च विव्रतम लिंगम च तपसाभिस्तम भस्मा दंडा जताजिनम अंगेन संध्याभ्रारुचा चंद्रालेखाम च विव्रतम लिंगम च तपसाभिस्तम भस्मा दंडा जताजिनम अंगेन संध्याभ्रारुचा चंद्रालेखाम च विव्रतम लिंगम च तपसाभिस्तम भस्मा दंडा जताजिनम अंगेन संध्याभ्रारुचा चंद्रालेखाम च विव्रतम
Abhistam, desired by Saviites, Asiatics, Bhashma, ashes, Danda, staff, Jata, matted hair, Ajinam, antelope skin, Angena, with his body, Sandhyabhra, reddish, Rucha, colored, Chandralekham, the crest of a half moon, Cha, and Vibratam, bearing,
translation and prepared by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
He was seated on a deer skin, and he in this case refers to Lord Shiva. So he was seated on a deer skin and was practicing all forms of austerity. Because his body was smeared with ashes, he looked like an evening cloud. On his hair was the sign of a half moon, a symbolic representation. Purport. Lord Shiva's symptoms of austerity are not exactly those of a Vaishnava. Lord Shiva is certainly the number one Vaishnava, but he exhibits a feature for a particular class of men who cannot follow the Vaishnava principles. The Saivites, the devotees of Lord Shiva, generally dress like Lord Shiva, and sometimes they indulge in smoking and taking intoxicants. Such practices are never accepted by the followers of a Vaishnava rituals. Om Agnyanati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadesatharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here, it's a very short paper, that Lord Shiva's symptoms of austerity are not exactly those of a Vaishnava. So he warns us, or he cautions us, that Lord Shiva's activities might not be representative of a typical Vaishnava attitude that we are familiar with, or those that we have expectations of. Why? And then he also tells us that Lord Shiva is certainly the number one Vaishnava. Vaishnava naam Yathasambhu. And not only that, we also know that Lord Shiva is one of the 12 Mahajans. So certainly he is a very, very elevated and exalted devotee. Notwithstanding his exalting position, his activities might not be those of a Vaishnava that we normally expect of. Why? Then he tells us that, but he exhibits a feature for a particular class of men who cannot follow the Vaishnava principles. So very easily and quickly Srila Prabhupada gives us the answer. That Lord Shiva sometimes exhibits qualities because he is associating and preaching to a different and a particular class of living entities. In this case, as we know, the ghosts and the goblins. So therefore, to preach to them at their level, he has to also dress and act accordingly. And then he tells us that the followers of Lord Shiva sometimes indulge in intoxications, smoking. And then he tells us that such activities are not accepted by the Vaishnavas that we know of. So he tells us, rather than imitating, it is better to follow instructions. So, Srila Prabhupada tells us that it is very important to understand the position of a person before we can understand his actions. We have to understand the position of a person before we can judge his actions. In this case, do not judge Lord Shiva by his externalities. Understand his supreme position of being the topmost devotee and being one of the 12 Mahajans. And then try to understand why at certain points in time he has to act which prima facie to us might seem that it is not in accordance with the Vaishnava rituals and practices that Srila Prabhupada has given us, or the Vedas has given us. We also know that in this particular pastime, Lord Shiva has exhibited several qualities, and two of them that stand out, or at least two of them that stand out to me, as far as my reading is concerned of the whole pastime, Srila Prabhupada exhibited the quality of being extremely tolerant. And in my last Bhagavatam class a month ago, I was speaking elaborately on this particular aspect of Lord Shiva. Someone who is very, very tolerant, notwithstanding the provoking situation that was he found himself in. Notwithstanding the curses of Daksha and his associates, Lord Shiva stayed very cool. So how to do anger management is what we focused on last time. Fast forward, Lord Shiva is now demonstrating to us the virtue of being forgiving, forgiveness. And in today's class, herein lies the subject matter for our class today. I'll be talking, hopefully in quite detail, time permitting, about forgiveness. How to deal with this aspect of forgiveness, how to seek forgiveness, and how to give forgiveness to others. So if we just quickly recap the pastime to date, in terms of what is unfolded, and then we'll hopefully dive into the aspect that I want to talk about. There are certainly other aspects that also come out quite clearly in this pastime. For example, we saw that Daksha exhibited the bad quality of pride and anger. We rise as our anger falls. We rise as our pride falls. Conversely, we fall as our pride rises. So in this particular pastime, Daksha is falling because of his pride and anger. Mother Sati exhibited, unfortunately not the best quality, or unfortunately the sad quality of being disobedient to her husband, Lord Shiva. Notwithstanding the good counseling that Lord Shiva gave her not to go to the yajna, she obeyed Lord Shiva, and then faced the ultimate death. Firstly being dishonored, and then she found herself deciding to quit her body. We also see how Lord Brahma is exhibiting a good quality of being a responsible leader. Once the damage has been done after the sacrifice, Virabhadra has been sent to destroy the sacrificial arena, and he beheads Daksha. Although later on Lord Shiva, gives him another head, albeit a head of a goat, which we will see unfold later. But in this case, we said that Lord Brahma, when he is approached by the associates of Daksha, with a view to pacify Lord Shiva, so that things can be restored and yajna can continue, we see Lord Brahma acting very responsibly. So responsibility of a leader comes out, is another pastime. Certainly, then Lord Shiva, after being very tolerant initially, now he is showing the quality of being forgiving, and we'll elaborate on that. So, perhaps we are lucky that in our cases, the abuses that we face, or maybe one step back, the abuse that Lord Shiva has faced from Daksha is of a very grave magnitude. Being blasphemed in front of everybody, and also being stopped from getting his share of the sacrifice, to the point of actually losing his wife, Mother Sati, it's something that is not small. Now in our cases, highly unlikely that we will have to face this kind of provoking situations. That somebody, has killed our wife, or somebody has blasphemed us so openly in public, Probably not this kind of magnitude. Our problems, especially at the temple, amongst the devotee association, tends to be little less subtle. When we are in the office, or when we are in the workforce, for those of us who go to office, sometimes, the words that we hear from our boss, hurt us a lot. It reduces our self-esteem. Can be a little bit more grave. But when we come to the temple, one of the reasons why we come to the temple also is because we find that peace that we don't find in the workplace. We find that peacefulness in the temple, not only because it is spiritual in nature, but also because devotees tend to be very nice with us. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Mataji, with a big smile on the face. So it kind of makes our day. Generally, as much as we get best in the office, we get praised at the temple. Devotees will say, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, such a wonderful feast you cooked today. So we get praised rather than being blasphemed. And then externally we might say, no, it's okay, it's all Krishna's mercy. But internally we might have some rejoicement, Acha laga, we liked it. For some time it lingers in our heart for a day, and then it slowly dies out before, we wait for the next praise. Puja and Pratishtha, it's natural for human beings to look for, especially at the neophyte stage. So at the temple, rather than the shoes, we get the flowers. So note the situation that Lord Shiva is in. Having said that, certainly time to time, we do find that there are tensions between devotees. And only when there are tensions, then I can bring in the subject matter of how to be forgiving. So, what are the things that is common within devotee community of times of, tensions and troubles and all that? Now, in my role as a Bhakti Vriksha facilitator, I come across these issues which, devotees bring to me so that it can be resolved. So I'm talking based on practical matters that are, prevalent, maybe not prevalent, but that are not unusual at the temple, A lot of times, it happens to be around prasadam. Now, you might not believe it, but it actually happens around prasadam. And I can give you a few examples, Firstly, when there is a feast upstairs, in the prasadam hall, we are all very eager to go and devour the prasadam, I should be the first one in the line. And then when we come all the way, in front of this temple room, and then this one Prabhuji, is standing there with his Hare Krishna security vest and tells us, Prabhuji, or Mataji, line is at the back. Then it's like, how can you come between me and prasadam, I have to go. Why can't you understand I have to go? As if others don't have to go. So, it is actually a very thankless task, a very thankless service of, doing that role of a volunteer to, manage prasadam queue. I have certainly, with Kripa Siddha Prabhu's, blessings, I have tried, that role many times. And trust me, it's not easy. Everybody will come and tell you your job description. In this particular role, this is your job description. This is how you should do. And actually, over time I have realized, I've got a very big mental list of excuses that devotees will give to bypass the queue. Prabhuji, I left my bag upstairs. Can I go? Prabhuji, I have to go to office. Can I go? No. Oh, Prabhuji, my wife has already saved me a plate. Can I go? Because the prasadam is getting cold. So and so forth, You can actually have a big encyclopedia of, the excuses that, people give. As if the person doing that service is not fasting, One time, someone came and said to me that I must go because my son is fasting from the morning. And I said, Mataji, Mataji Prabhuji, I can't remember, And I said, many devotees are fasting for half a day. Yeah, but my son is about to die because of hunger. I'm saying, Hare Krishna, this is too much, so I have to let you go. So, may have been genuine, or may have been superficial, I don't know, Krishna knows. But excuses can be quite, heavy at times. So we have to be mindful, that, everybody's in the queue, so we also have to respect the queue. Now, I'm not saying all this because I'm trying to bring out, the dirty laundry in front of everybody. I'm only bringing it because I'm trying to explain what are the difficulties that we go through in the community, so that I can then bring about the point of forgiveness. You know, that's my main topic for the day. Other times, devotees tell me in my role again as a Bhakti Vriksha facilitator, the issues tend to be around involving children. Okay. We tend to think that, you know, our children are the best. No, they are Prahlad Maharaj. Or at least they will become Prahlad Maharaj. But other children, other parents' children are probably, you know, more like Sringi Rishi, you know, who is a Rishi, but he is good at casing others, you know. So like Sringi Rishi cased Maharaj Parikshit, so your children, you know, your kids should be in your kids. Now the whole Bhagavad Gita starts because of what? The very first verse tells us what? Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samaveta Yudhsava Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva Kim Akurvarta Sanjaya. So Dhrishtrashtra said, which all of you know, that the Bhagavad Gita starts with my sons and the sons of Pandavas assembled at the battlefield of Kurukshetra desiring to fight. What did they do? O Sanjaya. So Krishna has to speak all these 18 chapters only because Dhrishtrashtra has this mentality of bad mentality about my sons and your sons or somebody else's son. And we bring this after reading 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita and so much of Bhagavatam, we bring the same mentality in the temple: my children, your children. No, let's keep them separate. Then, you know, you probably have to go back to chapter 1 Bhagavad Gita again, because Srila Prabhupada wanted one house, one family. That's it, you know, not my house and your house. Now we might have separate bedrooms in the big house. We have got a Melbourne bedroom, you know, and a Sydney bedroom and a Los Angeles bedroom. That's fine. But still, one big house. So somehow or the other, we have to break this mentality of mine versus yours. You know? So this is another typical problems that I face, that people bring it to me for counseling. Then, this applies mainly to Grihastas, a lot of Brahmacharis in the temple today. But, you know, in the Grihastha ashram, we tend to forget that the spouse is also a devotee. So our treatment, you know, of other devotees in the temple, in front of everybody in public, tends to be very goody-goody. You know, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Mataji, kaise ho, you know, how are you, very nice, do you want some prasadam, you know, can I save you, do you want some water, very, very nice. The moment we get in the car, you know, away from all the public perception, then the real Mahabharata starts. I'm not saying every time, you know, but generally we tend to take our spouses, you know, our property, you know, husband with wife and wife with husband. It goes one way, both ways, sorry, not one way. So we take it. I know I'm embarrassing myself, but you know, that's the sad reality of a Grihastha family, you know. And again, as my Bhakti Vriksha role, I tend to hear this almost every week, you know, that, you know, this, you know, how do we resolve it? So let's be fortunate that our problems are not that bad, you know. We are not killing anybody, you know. We are not, you know, abusing anybody to that extent. It's mainly around prasadam. And in Melbourne, you know, you'll get prasadam whenever you go to the queue. You know, 7 times a day you'll get prasadam. So notwithstanding how long the queue is, we'll still have takeaway, leftovers for takeaway. So that's not a problem. So then, if theoretically speaking, let's say we find ourselves in the situations of being abused, being blasphemed, being hated, being discriminated, whatever it be. No, whether it's something little issue or it's something bigger issue, whatever it be. Wherever we stand in the spectrum, you can visualize your own self. You may recall your own pastimes of when this leela happened in your life, you know, that some, you know, you got into tension and trouble with somebody else. And then, you know, let's put the principles in place to how to deal with it. So there are 3 ways of dealing with this unfavorable situations, you know, of finding ourselves being mistreated, you know, being somebody has been benevolent with us rather than being benevolent with us. So if we deal with this situation in the mode of ignorance, our reaction tends to be quite nothing, to be honest, surprisingly. No. People in the mode of ignorance, they will do nothing. Why? Because If no criticism is given to them, they will feel that they have been victimized, but they don't have the power to react. So they will become very low on self-esteem, you know, feel very pervasively lethargic, you know, and just go down and down in their hole to the point of, you know, succumbing and feeling like I'm good for nothing. Generally in the mode of ignorance, you know, when people are criticized. In the mode of passion, it tends to be a bit more dramatic, you know, little bit more animistic. If somebody has, you know, done something wrong to us, we are tit for tat. Bring it on, mate. No. Let me show you what I'm made of. No. So, blood for blood. No. Sweat for sweat. No. Anger for anger. So we are very tit for tat. No. We want to take revenge to get even. No. I'll show you what I'm made of. You know. So we are very, very, you know, we show this, sometimes we show this. Oh, I've also shown this in the past. Maybe at present as well. When I'm driving on the road, you know, I can be very animated. If somebody cuts across me in front, then my natural reaction is, no, how dare you cut in front of me like that, you know, without even, you know, indicating or something. No, let me get in front of you and show you a lesson. No? These days I'm a little bit more sober. But initially, you know, before my Krishna consciousness, I would be very, very animated. And I see that on the road. The people who get in road rage are actually because of, you know, retaliation in the mode of passion. You cut me, I'll cut you off. You talk rudely to me, I'll talk rudely to you. So that's generally the mode of passion. Now, both methods of dealing with being put in that situation is not the best way. Not dealing with it at all, like generally in the mode of ignorance, is not productive. No, if anything, it's actually counterproductive. Not only unproductive, but also counterproductive. In the mode of passion, when we are tit for tat, that is not a Vaishnava quality. So that is also not the best. So then how to deal with it? In the mode of goodness, and in, for this particular purpose, let's just assume that, you know, I'm talking about mode of goodness and the mode of pure goodness as being one. No? Sattva and Shuddha Sattva as being in one mode, you know, because generally the reactions will be same. So in the mode of goodness, what we do, we can approach with it in three different levels. Firstly, if we have been, you know, abused, or somebody has been malevolent against us, we can forgive them and forget them. Not sorry, forgive them and forget the situation. We, if the issue has been very minor, for example, you know, that's talking about the road rage, talking about the prasadam queue, some minor comments that somebody has made to us, that is not such a big deal in the scheme of things, then we can forgive that person and also forget the situation. Don't linger on it too much to the point that it starts, you know, affecting our own sadhana. Let it go. Minor offense. Last time, just to digress a little bit, you know, I was saying that last month when I gave my first Srimad Bhagavatam class, I was quite overwhelmed because it was my first Bhagavatam class. Today I'm quite feeling awkward because, you know, amongst all of you, you know, another Prabhu has also walked in, and they are all other senior devotees, you know. So I've given many lectures in Bhakti Vrikshas and all that, which has become quite natural to me. But to be speaking in front of, you know, senior devotees, I'll do it as a service because I've been rostered. But another Prabhu, thank you for making your presence, and I'm here. I'm sure you are here to test me, that whether I'm speaking everything is in accordance with Srimad Bhagavatam or I'm making my own, and I'll be happy for your feedback afterwards. So, I was saying that in the mode of ignorance, you know, we let it go. In the mode of passion, we are tit for tat. In the mode of goodness, three different levels. Firstly, if the instance is minor, then let it go. Forget the situation, forgive the person. Why? Because our main principle is not about, you know, worrying too much about our virtuous characteristics, such as, you know, whether I am forgiving. Certainly they are all praiseworthy, but the focus is not whether I am forgiving, whether I am tolerant, you know, whether I am benevolent, whether I am nice. Our main principle is what? Main principle is that Krishnam eva, Krishnam kevalam sharanam. Devotional service to Krishna is our main principle. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. The other things, if they are conducive to achieve that paramount goal of remembering Krishna everyone, then accept it. But if they are not, then doesn't really matter. So, if we are unable to forgive a person who may have been, you know, not so nice with us, then what happens? Rather than being Krishna conscious, we become that person conscious. We are thinking so much about that person that we actually forget that we have to focus on Krishna. So we miss the goal. So in minor situations, as I said, we can forget the situation and forgive the person. Also, in situations when we find ourselves, you know, that are not so favorable, then we can always at least be grateful to Krishna. As Chaitanya Charitamrita said, you know, recently when he was in Melbourne, we can be grateful. We may not be able to be grateful in for all situations. We may not be able to be grateful for all situations, but we can certainly be grateful in all situations. For example, you know, he told us this story that one time a lady, she was trying to get access to her car because she had locked her cars in the her keys in the car, you know, and it was hot and she was in a haste to get to her next destination. So she was trying very desperately to get access to the car, and she couldn't open it because she didn't know how to open it with whatever equipments that she found. But the key was inside the car. Excuse me. So she was praying to the Lord very, very devotionally, very, very desperately to say, "Oh my Lord, please help me. Oh my Lord, please help me. Oh my Lord, please help me." And then she was still trying to open the car. She couldn't. And then all of a sudden she saw one big, gigantic person walking towards her, who kind of looked like a not so decent gentleman, almost like a prisoner. And then this not so gentleman, approached the lady and then said, "You seem to be desperate, do you need any help?" And she said, "Blah, blah, blah, you know, my key is inside the car, I need access to the car, you know, can you help me open the car?" He said, "Yes, I can, this is on my fingertips." So he opened the car. And she said, "You seem to be a very nice gentleman, you know. You have helped me in my desperate situation." And this bloke said that, "Actually, I'm not such a nice gentleman. I'm a prisoner. I'm a criminal. I've been to jail many times because my profession is to break into cars. And I've just been released from the jail yesterday." So this lady, she closes her eyes and prays to the Lord again, "Oh my Lord, thank you for sending a professional." So, we may not be able to be grateful for all situations. Certainly in this case, she would not have been grateful because she got locked out of the car. But she can be grateful in all situations because she still found help in that situation. So, this tells us that whatever situations we are faced, we can still be grateful to Krishna for putting us in that situation, so that our karma may be, you know, removed by that situation, and we can move on and march on our bhakti. As Srila Prabhupada told us that we should not be angry at the instruments of our karma. We should not be angry at the instruments of our karma. If somebody has been, you know, rude to us, he is only delivering the karma that we deserve from our past activities. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a postman. The postman is only delivering your letter. Don't blame him whether the content of the letter is good or bad. It's not within jurisdiction of the postman to decide. He's only delivering what has been given to him to deliver to us. So don't be angry at the instruments of karma. So, first method in mode of goodness is to forgive the person and forget the situation and move on. The next one is, if the situation is little bit more dramatic, you know, it's not so easy to, you know, just let it go. In that situation, what we can do, We can forgive the person, but don't forget the situation. We forgive the person, but don't forget the situation. Why we forgive the person? So that we can move on to our bhakti and give that person a chance also to reform. Why not forget the situation so that we are careful that we are not fooled twice? Somebody said that if you fool me, if you fool me, shame on you. If you fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me twice, shame on me. If you had fooled me once, then shame on you. But if you fooled me twice, then shame on me. Because why did I get fooled twice? I should have been more careful not to get fooled the second time. Somebody else also said that it is easy to fool one person many times. But it is not easy to fool many people many times. So in this case, we don't forget the situation so that we are not fooled again. Now, we see Lord Shiva exhibiting this particular technique in the first instance. When Daksha had blasphemed him, he moved away from the situation, you know, without speaking even a single word. He forgave Daksha instantly, remained cool, but he didn't forget the situation. Fast forward, when Mother Sati wanted to go to the second sacrifice, albeit uninvited, Lord Shiva cautioned her, "Devi, don't go. Remember the situation, you know, when he blasphemed me, and he has got the potential to cause problems again. Be careful." So Lord Shiva is not telling Mother Sati that don't go to the sacrifice because Daksha is my enemy, or because, you know, we still have got some issues from the past which we have not cleared the air on. Not like that. He's just saying, don't go, be careful that, you know, he can blow up again second time. So guard yourself. Don't get fooled twice, is what he's saying. And we know, notwithstanding the good counseling, Mother Sati still went there. And then she faced the consequences which we are all aware of from the past time. Similarly, we see this past time, Vidura exhibiting with Dhritarashtra. When, at one time, after the gambling match, which was rigged, and the Pandavas lost as we know, Vidura went to Dhritarashtra and said that, you know, he gave Dhritarashtra very good counseling in terms of, you know, why are you involved in this nepotism, you know? Why are you being so unkind to the Pandavas who are the rightful heirs to the throne, etc., etc., etc. So he spoke the truth, but, and for Dhritarashtra's own good, and for the good of general population for that matter, but Dhritarashtra found it unpalatable. So in that mood of instant anger, he actually banished Vidura from the kingdom. Later on, when Dhritarashtra came to his senses, or maybe came to a little bit of senses, because we know he was, you know, uncontrolled most of the times in terms of his behavior as a king. When he came to a little bit of senses, he realized that he should not have banished Vidura. So he told Sanjaya that, "Sanjaya, go and apologize to Vidura and ask Vidura to come back." And Vidura, when hearing this message from Sanjaya, immediately forgives Dhritarashtra and comes back. But when he comes back, he doesn't forget the situation. He forgives Dhritarashtra, but doesn't forget the situation. Knowing and being careful and being cautious that Vidura can blow up again. Dhritarashtra can blow up again. So he re-established this relationship with Dhritarashtra with the view to protect himself, to protect Dhritarashtra from more karmic reactions, and of course to protect the Pandavas from getting tortured again and again. So forgive, but don't forget. When we forgive, we cannot change the past a little bit, a single bit. When we forgive somebody, we cannot change the past a single bit, but we can change the future a lot. We open the door for the reformation so that, you know, there can be growth from both sides. We may well find ourselves in the situations when we are begging for forgiveness, correct? No? It's not that we are pure devotees. Oh, certainly in my case, you know, I know I'm not a pure devotee. So I may find well myself in a situation that I need to beg forgiveness from somebody. So just as I anticipate, you know, especially in case of devotees to forgive me for my missteps. Similarly, you know, it bestows on me to forgive when others are also seeking for forgiveness. Correct, no? Forgive and move on. Now, is there an echo? Is this okay? It's okay. Now, the third technique that can be used in terms of, you know, troubled situation is we seek reformation, but not with a hatred attitude. So I said, firstly, in the mode of goodness, we can forgive and forget. Then I said, we can forgive, but don't forget, you know, and withhold your trust. No, don't trust that person fully, because you know he can blow up again. So just be careful. The third technique is, we need to seek reformation in the other person, because we know he or she is capable of causing more and more and more disasters later on the train. So, we see this third technique being employed by Lord Shiva in the second instance. Initially, he forgave Daksha and didn't forget the situation. In this case, when Daksha has not learned his lessons and he has, you know, disowned his daughter, Mother Sati, and Lord Shiva has lost Mother Sati, you know, as his dear wife, Lord Shiva now knows it's time to teach Daksha some lesson. But not in an inimical way. Lord Shiva is punishing Daksha not to get even with him, not to take revenge with him, not with a view of vengeance, but for the sake of Daksha's own good as starting point. And we can see this in Daksha's testimony itself. When Lord Shiva restores Daksha's life and gives him the head of the goat, Daksha apologizes to Lord Shiva and says quite explicitly that, "Thank you, Lord Shiva, for purifying me. I was too much, you know, drunk with pride and anger, and I did so many mistakes. Thank you for purifying my consciousness." So this, we can see Lord Shiva purifying Daksha's consciousness in a mood of forgiveness, in a mood of compassion, rather than in a mood of retaliation. We see the similar pastime in the case of Lord Ram with Ravan. When Ravan abducted Mother Sita for his devilish delight, and notwithstanding many opportunities that Lord Ram gave to Ravana, you know, to reform himself, return Mother Sita and reform yourself, I'll forgive you. Ravana did not take opportunity of any of this amnesty that Lord Ram was giving him. Eventually, Lord Ram had to deal with him and finish him off. No? When he finished him off, interestingly, when Ravan was dead, Lord Ram told Vibhishan that now that Ravan's sons are all dead, and as per Vedic rituals, you know, the son does the last rites for the father. Given that the sons are also dead, you being the one who is alive, being his brother, you do the last rites for him. And Vibhishan is taken aback. He says, "My lord, this particular person who has created so many of atrocities to everybody, to the point of, you know, kidnapping your wife, not taking any of your amnesties, why do we bother with him? And of all the people, I have to do his rites?" So what Lord Ram replied is very profound. He said, "Our animosity with Ravan ended from the time he died. Our animosity with Ravan ended immediately when he died. The soul is pure, and for the spiritual progress of the soul, you know, in the next birth, do the last rites so that Ravan can progress on." What we learn from this is that Lord Ram's actions with Ravan was not with the attitude of taking revenge, not to get even, not to balance the card. It was solely on the principle of compassion. You know, that this particular soul in this particular body is creating too much of karmic reactions for himself. It's time to end him now, so that he can move on with a new body, fresh body, you know, with a fresh Krishna consciousness from that point forward. So retaliation, not more so more retaliation, but more punishment with the mood of compassion, rather than punishment with the mood of retaliation or, you know, with the mood of get even. So in our cases, when we are faced with this, you know, cases when we are being abused, when we are being blasphemed, you know, when we are being ill-treated, then when we are seeking apology from the other person, we have to be very conscious that it is not about you and me. You know? It is not about the, as it says, it's not about the criminal, it is about the crime. You know? Deal with the crime rather than with the criminal. So we have to deal with devotees in a very conducive way, so that, you know, there is no inclination of, you know, you did wrong, I did wrong, you know, I did right, you did right. Not like you and me. It's more with the point of what was the issue, solve the issue, and we move forward in our Krishna consciousness. Sat Sarup Maharaj also writes, you know, in his book that one time, and I just only read this recently, Sri Prabhupada got so angry at him. Sri Prabhupada asked Sat Sarup Maharaj, at that time he was his personal secretary, Sri Prabhupada had written a letter to some devotee, and in that particular letter he had written at the end, I hereby enclose the letter that I am referring to. So in other words, there was two letters. A letter that Sri Prabhupada had written, and then Sri Prabhupada wanted another letter that he had written to somebody else to be enclosed in this particular envelope. And Sat Sarup Maharaj, in his, he was trying to search for this letter that had to be enclosed, and he couldn't find it. And he forgot about it. And later, in the haste of sending the envelope, he forgot to enclose the secondary letter. And after some time, Sri Prabhupada received a reply from this person who was the recipient of the letter, to say that, dear Sri Prabhupada, you know, you had mentioned that you are enclosing another letter, but there was no another letter. And Sri Prabhupada got very angry with Sat Sarup Maharaj. No. He said, how did you forget, you know, what happened, etc., etc. And he was like going, you know, hard on him. No, he was not relenting. And Sat Sarup Maharaj then, you know, became so devastated, you know, that he pretty much broke down into tears. And he found that Sri Prabhupada was still not, no, he was unrelenting. He was, you know, giving him heavy dosage, you know, every now and then. And later on, when Sat Sarup Maharaj says, you know, when he went and meditated on this, how to deal with this situation, then he went to Sri Prabhupada after some time and found that Sri Prabhupada was still very angry with him. He had not, no, he was still angry. And Sat Sarup Maharaj said to Sri Prabhupada, is that, Sri Prabhupada, I've thought about this, and I admit it was clearly my mistake, and I am going to write to your secretary because I could not find that secondary letter, and I am going to locate the letter, and I am also going to write to the recipient to say it was my mistake, and I will, in the process of relocating the letter, and once I have retrieved the letter, I will send it to you. So this is what I have planned to fix this situation. And he said, Sri Prabhupada immediately smiled with him with beaming face. And he says that the lesson I learned is that Sri Prabhupada was not angry at me at all. Sri Prabhupada was angry at the situation. He was angry with the mistake I had made, rather than he was angry at me. How and why? Because when I told him the solution to the problem, he immediately became, you know, very, very happy. You know, that I have rectified and reformed myself, and I'll move on like this in my Krishna consciousness. So, another example of how a pure devotee, when he exhibits anger, it is not to get revenge, not to get even, or not to, you know, become very authoritative. It is purely to reform our mistakes. And those of us, you know, who save senior devotees, you know, especially, you know, if you happen to save your spiritual master, then, you know, you kind of get this dosage very now and then. You know. And time you will notice that, you know, when we get that heavy dosage, immediately the spiritual master, you know, is like normal, as if the event had never happened. He chastises us, but then immediately he is, you know, such a cool person that he just completely forgets the situation of us making the mistake. So time and time we realize that, you know, pure devotees are not controlled by anger, but they control anger. There's a difference between being controlled by anger and controlling the anger. Hanuman showed us this. He was not controlled by anger, but he controlled his anger and he used his anger for the service of the Lord, rather than being controlled by anger and then, you know, saying things whimsically or doing things that are not in accordance with Lord Ram's desire. So then, how do we ask for forgiveness? So far, I have spoken about, you know, how we deal with when we have to forgive somebody. Now, let's quickly, and cognizant of the time, so let's quickly talk about how do we seek forgiveness, and then I'll open the forum for any comments or questions you might have. How to seek forgiveness? In this particular pastime, we also see how Lord Brahma, the title of this chapter itself is Brahma Satisfied Lord Shiva. You know, Brahma tries to appease and, you know, pacify Lord Shiva. So we see when the associates of Daksha approach Brahma to find a solution for this conflict, Brahma takes, as I've already alluded at the beginning, Brahma takes the position of being a leader, and he goes with the associates of Daksha to Kailash, you know. And this is where we are at the moment. You know, we can see what Lord Shiva is doing. As we saw today, he was seated on a deer skin. So Lord Brahma starts with glorifying Shiva first. You know, that you are so and so, you are an exalted devotee, you know, you are, you know, etc. So he starts with the glorification. And then he comes to the point that, you know, being so magnanimous, you know, you have to forgive them. And then he realizes in the discourse, which we will see evolve later, that actually, even before Lord Brahma had pleaded to Shiva to become, you know, to please him, Lord Shiva has already had already become normal. He had already, you know, gone past his anger that he had initially shown, you know, in beheading Daksha. So he had already moved on in his Krishna consciousness, or Ram consciousness in that matter. So we see, we also see this with Arjuna, with Lord Krishna. In chapter 11, universal form, Arjuna, after Krishna shows Arjuna the Virat Roop, and Krishna realizes that, oh my God, this is not an ordinary personality, you know, this is the supreme personality of Godhead, you know, Krishna, you are so and so. Then he starts recollecting his pastimes or his dealings with Krishna, and he starts reflecting, actually, whether I have made a grievous mistake here by considering Krishna as an ordinary person. For example, then he prays to Krishna that, oh Krishna, or not prays, he tells Krishna that, oh Krishna, you know, in playful mood, I have called you, oh Krishna, oh Yadava, you know, oh my friend. And time to time I have sat at the same level as you. Time to time, you know, we have eaten from the same plate. Time to time we have rested on the same bed. And now I realize that how silly I might have been. And I don't know whether I did all this out of love or out of madness of my Lord. But, you know, you are so glorious. You are Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for my mistakes that I may have made, you know, not knowing that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Arjuna again demonstrates to us how to genuinely and sincerely beg for forgiveness. Exhibit our mistakes. Glorify the person who is going to give you forgiveness, and then seek for forgiveness in a very, very sincere mood. Now, what does it mean by sincere mood? Sincere mood means identifying that we may have been wrong, and then developing a plan not to make the mistakes again is the main thing. Not to repeat the mistakes again, you know, is a symptom of being a sincere apology. Because otherwise the apology is, you know, from the lips rather than from the heart. So in this case, Arjuna is, you know, sincerely apologizing. And then of course when Yogmaya, you know, captures him again, then he plays with Krishna, you know, as normal friends again. But that's Leela. In our case, we also see, you know, after the services that we do at the temple, especially if it's service to the deities, you know, to Srila Prabhupada, to Radha Vallabha, you know, if we are making bhoga or we are making garlands, you know, then at the end of the service we bow down, you know, and then we beg forgiveness for the Lord. Oh my Lord, you know, if I have made any mistakes in my service, please forgive me. Now, that is good. But we also have to be mindful that when we are begging for forgiveness from the Lord, for example, let's say, you know, when we have made the bhoga plate for the Lord, and we are begging for forgiveness, then begging for forgiveness is genuine only when, if we actually know that we did make some mistake, and not repeating that mistake in our next service. But just asking for forgiveness, saying, oh my Lord, if I have made any mistakes, actually demonstrates that I know I didn't make any mistakes. But maybe, you know, you saw something, so please forgive me. You know, and this becomes, you know, committing sin for the 6 days, seven days, and then going and asking forgiveness on the seventh day. Then, you know, we also become very ritualistic, you know, like some sects, you know, that are out there. So we have to be conscious that we have to be putting a heartfelt forgiveness rather than a lip service forgiveness. You know? And a heartfelt forgiveness is the one whereby we don't commit the mistakes the second time. So if somebody has, you know, abused us, as I said, you know, we have to develop the virtue of being forgiving, because somebody has said that grudge is the heaviest thing to hold. The heaviest thing to hold is actually grudge. Now, if we are running from point A to point B, and you are carrying a very big, heavy suitcase, then of course it will naturally slow us down to the destination, correct, no? But if we let the suitcase go, then our journey becomes quicker and swifter. So when we are holding on to grudge in our heart, and Krishna is saying, my dear devotee, haven't I told you so many times that the entrance or the visa requirements to, you know, back to Godhead is that you must have a clean heart. So this resentment that you are carrying in your heart, let it go. Otherwise, you know, entry is delayed. So for our own benefit, let the grudge go. As much as it is, of course, beneficial to the recipient, at least for our own benefit, we have to let the grudge go. Otherwise, you know, that suitcase will delay our process and actually maybe even potentially stop our progress. As Krishna says, have a clean heart for your visa requirements to Goloka Vrindavan. So, we have to patiently progress in our Krishna consciousness, you know, with the view to develop, you know, piva bhakti, and in the mood of, you know, not committing mistakes, and at the same time, if somebody else is committed mistakes, you know, developing that mood of being forgiving. One time, a sadhu, he was begging for money, or he was begging for commodities, you know, food, money, whatever could come to him. So he was coming to one particular suburb, and in one particular household, the householders were quite miserly, conjuice as we say in Hindi, and they were not forthcoming in giving him any donation at all. And they were actually quite rude with this particular sadhu, you know, don't come to my doorway next time, otherwise, you know, we'll behead you, something like that, you know, pretty rough. So this sadhu continued to go and beg from that door day in, day out. He would go to all the households in that suburb, and he would go to this particular household as well. So he repeated that again and again and again and again. One time, the householders, the husband and wife, they became so sick with him, you know, that what they did, because he was relentless in his approach of asking donations, you know, and they were getting quite frustrated with him. So to get rid of him completely and permanently, what they did, they went into their kitchen and brought a handful of ashes and gave it to this sadhu. Sadhu is looking for some food, money and shelter and, you know, some milk and all that, some nuts. But what they did, you know, in a very a frustrated mood, they gave him a handful of ashes. And the sadhu smiled at them. And the householders became bewildered, because they were expecting the sadhu to retaliate. No? We have given you ashes and you are smiling. When somebody throws ashes at us, only we know how we will react, right? I think the smile will be the last thing. For now we are smiling. But in that situation, the smile will be the last thing, you know. We'll try to, you know, find whatever to throw back at them, you know. So the sadhu smiled, and the householders became bewildered to say, no, we have been so rude to you, and now we have thrown ashes at you, and you are smiling. The sadhu, why are you smiling? The sadhu said, I can see some changes happening in your heart. From not giving, at least now you are giving. Albeit, you know, it is ashes. But from not giving anything at all, for my persistent begging for so long, at least you are giving now. So I'm smiling at the benevolent change that is happening in your heart. And then the householders thought, but I can understand, maybe we are changing, now we are giving you ashes. But then of all the things we have given you, ash. You know, I mean, it's worthless. Here we see Lord Shiva is smeared on his body with ashes. What did it say? He was seated on the straw of mattress and speaking to... No, not that one. 36. He was seated on a deer skin and was practicing all forms of austerity because his body was smeared with ashes. So similarly, this sadhu's body was smeared with ashes. Not in an austerity way, but more, you know, it was thrown at him. So, the householder said that, you know, we have given you ashes of all the things. Still you are so pleased with us, like it's ash. And the sadhu said, today you have given me ash, tomorrow you might give me cash. So, we have to be patient, you know, in our endeavor for, you know, Krishna consciousness. Because as much as, you know, devotees will give us roses a lot of time, time to time we also get those, you know, sandals on our head, you know. And we take the dust of the sandals on our lotus feet, you know, as a mercy of Krishna, so that we can march forward on our Krishna consciousness. We have to remember that in no matter what the adversity is, we have to deal with it as a mercy of Krishna. Tattenu kampam shushamikshamanu. Not that Krishna is giving us the trouble, but more how the solution will come from Krishna when we are in trouble. Krishna is not only our destination, but Krishna is also our companion. Krishna is not only our destination, but he is also our companion, because he sits in our heart. And whether we are in good times or bad times, he is there to help us and guide us. We just have to develop that faith on him. And we see in the pastimes of the Pandavas, you know, with each adversity that they went through, they came out stronger and stronger. You know, they help, their helplessness and their surrender unto Krishna grew with each adversity that they had to face. So similarly in our life, when we are facing the adversities, we can take it as a mercy of Krishna to bring us closer to him. Krishna is very close to us, but we are a bit too far from him. Krishna is very close to us, but we are far from him. So we have to remember that Krishna is not there to catch us when we do wrong. Krishna is not there to catch us when we do wrong. Krishna is there to catch us when we fall. So when we are going through hard times, just know that it is Lord's plan to get us closer and closer to him. So I will summarize, then I'll open for, you know, any questions. Firstly, we said that when we are in situations when we have been, you know, abused or have been, you know, misaligned, or we have been, devotees have not been very benevolent with us, or non-devotees in office anywhere. Firstly, in the mode of ignorance, we tend to do nothing. In the mode of passion, we tend to be tit for tat, you know, eye for an eye. Which is, and both of them are not the best form of reactions. Then we said in the mode of goodness, there are three different levels of dealing with it. Firstly, if the situation is very minor and it's not, you know, too big to deal with or to worry about, then we forgive the person and forget the situation. But if we know that he can be, you know, a continuous abuser, then we forgive the person still, but we don't forget the situation. Just like Vidura didn't forget Dhritarashtra's atrocities, but he forgave him. Thirdly, now if it is taking very grievous situation and we know now that it has to be dealt with, then we seek reformation in the person, but not with the mood of hatred, rather with the mood of compassion. And we saw this in the pastimes of Lord Shiva with Daksha. He seeked reformation, he punished Daksha in the mood of compassion rather than in the mood of revengefulness. And we saw this in the pastime of Lord Ram dealing with Ravan, not to get even with him, but only to end his karmic reactions in this body, so that he can perceive his Krishna consciousness in the next body. So with that, I hope, you know, I've given you something that has been useful. In the process, if I have, you know, inadvertently made some mistakes, I seek apology. And as I said, you know, you can apply the principles of forgiveness and decide at which level you want to forgive me. And with that, I'll stop here. And I will ask if you have any corrections, comments, or questions. Or maybe firstly I'll ask whether you are awake. Okay, please raise your hand. Yes.
Thank you for the wonderful class. It's really practical. And you speak about Chaitanya Jaya, it's very inspiring.
Thank you.
You made this nice point about how we shouldn't blame others for delivering our karma to us. So my question is, sometimes when we go out on the streets or whatever, doing Harinam or book distribution, we meet these people that are very like inimical, like they may be violent, they may be or whatever. So is this our karma or is it some special arrangement of Krishna?
So the question is, you know, when we don't have to, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that we don't have to be angry at the instruments of our karma. So then from time to time when we go on Harinams for book distributions, we face people, you know, who can be a little bit abusive with us, you know, and shower us words that are not so nice. So is that, you know, a karmic reaction to us, or is that, you know, a special arrangements by Krishna? Well, philosophically speaking, you know, devotees are outside the purview of karma. Devotees are outside the purview of karma. You know, we have got special programs set by Krishna, you know, to bring us closer to Him. Non-devotees are, you know, in the chakra of karma. So for them, every action is an equal and opposite reaction, which we know. But for devotees, we don't know what the Lord's plan is. So therefore, you know, we have to take it as a mercy of Krishna rather than, you know, necessarily a karmic reaction. It may well be a karmic reaction as well, in the sense that Srila Prabhupada said that once we have surrendered to Krishna, there still will be that, you know, little bit token reaction that has to come, which, you know, when the fan has been unplugged from the power socket, it will still rotate for some time until it comes to a, you know, absolute halt. So we are like that fan that has been disconnected with the karmic cycle, if you like. But it will rotate a little bit of that revolution until it comes to a full halt. So if we have been, you know, in that situation, it can be our, you know, that token reaction, or it can be a special arrangement by the Lord. And as you said, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, you know, he said that we know our past and we plan our present. We know our past and we plan our present. Krishna knows our future. We know our past, so we plan our future. Krishna knows our future, so He plans our present. So whatever He gives us, you know, is His present program to take us back to Godhead. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, please. Yeah.
So how can we justify it? Because our mind will always justify things.
Yeah. So the question is, how do we control our anger and develop humility? How do we control our anger and develop humility? Well, the simplest thing is to get married. The spouse tells us how to get it, you know. Both ways. The husband will teach the wife how to be tolerant, and the wife will teach the husband how to be tolerant. So that's one. And you are already... So why are you asking this question? You should know, na? Now, the other ways could be, you know, that we have to remember that the gateways to hell, you know, lust, anger, ego, pride, envy, these are all the gateway to hell, Krishna tells us. So, as I said, you know, we have to have a very clean slate, you know, to go back to Godhead. So a heart that is harboring anger, you know, then somehow the other Krishna will have make arrangements for it to go away completely. Just as in case of Lord Daksha, or not Lord Daksha, Daksha, he learned the hard way. You know. He was given chances to reform himself, but he failed. And eventually he learned the lesson the hard way, you know, and then he became humble. So we can learn the hard way or we can learn the easy way, knowing that, you know, we are quite insignificant, you know, in the scheme of things. As Srila Prabhupada said, you know, there are many planets, there are many, you know, countries, there are many towns, there are many villages, there are many houses, there are many streets. Within all of that, there is one particular me. So that's how insignificant we are in the scheme of things. Then our anger and pride comes only because we want to be the lord of the material enjoyment. We want to lord it over the material nature. But once we realize that it is all for Krishna, then, you know, we know that if we have been, you know, used or abused, or we have been, you know, glorified. In either case, you know, I'm your, you know, so I'm your surrendered soul, you know, life after life. So, take a very, you know, consider ourselves as very insignificant in the scheme of things. Our main principle is to save Krishna. And whatever comes on the way that prohibits us from that service, then we let it go. And whatever is favorable, then we accept it. Anukulyasya sankalpya, pratikulyasya varjana. Okay. Any last question? No, you are all waiting for Mahaprasad Govinda. Okay, so we will stop here. Thank you for your participation and thank you for those nice questions. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.